the thing that grabbed me out of that, well, a couple things did grab me out of that song, but the one that the Lord led me to talk about today is my soul magnifies the Lord. And just during the practices that we had, and this phrase just kept coming up in my mind, you know, whether I was here or at home or, you know, doing whatever, it just was on my mind. And it comes from Mary's Song of Praise, which was what I read, four verses of. There's actually about 10 verses, I believe, of Mary's song. And it happened when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and her cousin was pregnant with John the Baptist. And she went and visited her cousin. And both of these were miraculous conceptions, if you will. And when she approached her cousin, or at least we think it was her cousin, it was a relative anyway, the baby, John the Baptist, it was going to be John the Baptist, leapt in the womb in the presence of the Savior. And then that's when Mary goes into this, because her cousin said, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped inside of me. And she who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. You know, talking about Mary, and the angel had come and told her she was going to have this child, and it's going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save the world. Okay, and so then Mary goes into this song, if you will, a praise song in a sense. My soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. And that's the other part of that song. He has done great things for me. Great things for me. And his name is holy. So I just have a few things to point out in this passage, and she says, my soul, magnifies the Lord. And that word magnify, it could be translated proclaims the Lord, it could be translated praises the Lord, but I like the word magnifies. When you magnify something, you make something bigger. You know, and that's a question we need to ask ourselves sometimes. You know, when people see us, do we make Jesus bigger for them? We are here. We are ambassadors. We are representing Christ to a lost and fallen world. And do we magnify the Lord? And she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And remember what the soul is. You know, it's a term we use a lot of times in you know, spirit, soul, and body. Well, what are those things? Well, your soul is your mind. It is your will. It is your emotions. That's your soul. And whatever's going on in your soul, that's what you're going to carry out in your flesh. Your will. What is your will? It's what you will do. It's your will determines what you do. You get choices. I will do this or I will do that. That's our will. So we think about things and we come up with a will. It's a decision on what we're going to do. And then sometimes that's intermeshed with emotion as well, which is part of our soul as well. And then those things, whatever we come to, we carry that out in the flesh when we interact in this world that we live in and the people that we come in contact with. And so do we magnify the Lord? Does our soul do that? Does our will, our mind, our emotions, and then which extends out into our actual physical being, do we magnify the Lord? And it's real interesting, The grammar here is, they call it the present indicative, which it's an assertion of fact, and it's a continuous and repeated action. And this particular one is kind of unusual because it's said in all three tenses. It's talking about past, present, and future. And so in the past, have we magnified the Lord? In the present, are we magnifying the Lord? In the future, are we going to be magnifying the Lord? I mean, Mary's saying, you know, in the past I did, in the present I am, and in the future I will. And that ought to be kind of our motto as Christians, all of us. Maybe your past with the Lord isn't deep. Maybe it's not too far back. Some of us, maybe from as long as you can remember, you were sold out for God. There came a day in your life, very early in your life perhaps, that you accepted Christ your Savior. Others, maybe later in life. But whenever it was, what have you done since? Have you magnified the Lord? Something we ought to think about. Do I magnify the Lord? That's verse 46. 47, she rejoiced. We should be rejoicing. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. You know what? If you've named the name of Christ as Lord and Savior, you've accepted forgiveness from God, you've asked for forgiveness, you've received it, you have great reason to be joyful, regardless of anything else that's going on in your life. Joy. We should be people of joy. We rejoice. And then she says, because, why am I rejoicing? Because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his slave. Verse 48, the first part of it. Do you understand? You are favored. You know, you ever get in that contest, that old Smothers Brothers things, Mom always liked you best. You know, the two brothers, and one always claimed the other one liked them the best. You young people, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but those of us our generation, we know what that was. But, you know, there's that favorite child or whatever. But do you understand that God favors you? It's like God is going to every child and going, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. You're my favorite. And he can do that without partiality. He can do that in perfection. He loves me just as much as he loves you, just as much as he loves the next person. We are favored people. He has looked upon us with favor. He looked on what? The humble condition. Do you know who you were? I know who I was, and there was times when I thought I was pretty good or whatever, but I look back on the whole thing, and I was not in a good condition. That's just the truth. It was a humble state to be in. It was a lost state. It was a state that had no hope in of itself. If Jesus Christ had not intervened in my life, I was doomed. I was doomed. Favored. Humble. He's looked with favor. You know, he looked with favor upon the humble condition of Mary, and he looks with favor on our humble condition as well. She says, surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. You know, a lot of people do call her blessed, but that's a promise for every Christian. It's not just reserved for Mary. All she did was be obedient. What did she say? You know, the Lord approached her and says, you're going to have this child. And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's impossible. I've never been with anybody. And then the angel explains and says, no, the Holy Spirit is going to conceive a child within you, and it's going to be the Son of God. And she said, what? As you have spoken, so let it be unto me. She was obedient. She just went along with the program. You know, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we go along with God's program? The program that he has for each one of us. And trust me, each one of you, he has a program for. There's a purpose for you. You are not made without purpose. You are not made without a calling. You are not made without a reason for being here in his plan. Now, a lot of times we get our plan going. You know, we do things our way. But I don't know about you, but I know when I do things my way, it doesn't feel much like a blessing. But when I submit to him and I do things his way, even though it may take me down a path I didn't want to go, there's blessing every step of the way. It just feels good to be right with God. I just don't know how else to put it. All generations will call me blessed. Why? Because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Not only should we magnify him, not only should we be rejoicing, not only are we favored, we are cared for. We are cared for. Look at all the great things the Mighty One has done for me. I am truly blessed. That's what she's saying. He's done great things for me. He's done great things for you. We tend to focus on the negative. When you get sick, when money situation goes upside down, when maybe the job goes south, or maybe relationships you have troubles with. You know, we focus on those things. And God says, you know, I saved you. I am in you. I gave my spirit to you. And I'm working in your life, and I'm trying to teach you and guide you, and I'm bringing you on a path, and I'm taking the things of your life, and I want to use them to make you more like Jesus so that you can magnify him even more in this world. And we should rejoice that we were chosen for such a noble endeavor. We are cared for. He cares for you. Always remember that. There's nothing that happens to you he's not aware of. There's nothing going on in your life that's got him up in heaven wringing his hands. Oh, what am I going to do? I didn't see that coming. You know, God never says that. It's that old Billy Sunday quote, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? You know, we'll sit there and go, wow, you know, we'll read the Bible. Wow, I don't remember ever seeing that verse quite like that. You know, God never has an aha moment, you know. All of a sudden we'll go, ah, oh, now I get it. You know, God doesn't experience that. He's in total command of everything that's going on in this universe, and nothing takes him by surprise. And the situation you find yourself in today, he is aware of and he cares. And you just got to believe that, no matter how hard it is. He's aware of it, and he cares, and he wants to use it to make you more like Jesus. And then she ends it with, his name is holy. His name is pure. His name is majestic. His name is glorious. Because you see, it's all about Christ. You know, if we get our focus and realize the things that we do for our Lord. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Him. And when we do things for Him, the blessing spills to the ones we're dealing with. You know, if I sell out to God and read His Word and bring a message every week, yeah, I'm kind of doing it for you, but I'm really doing it in obedience to Him. And you get the blessing as He uses me in your life. And then when He takes whatever the Word of God is preached that day and applies it in your life, you become a blessing to someone else. As we apply this Word, we bless one another. We all have different roles and different places and different spheres of influence and different people that we rub shoulders with. But God still wants to use you in wherever you find yourself, right there. And He is holy. He's pure. He's majestic. There's no flaw in Him. And I believe it's 1 John, he says, there is no darkness in Him. There's none. He's all light. Now, I don't know about you and me. I do know about you and me. We all got some darkness, don't we? There's stuff. There's stuff in there. But in Him, there is none. He's pure. His name is holy. And what we just sang, this whole, I hope you were listening to the words because they're so meaningful. But what we just sang and what's been spoken here today and the verses that have been read, this is why we celebrate Christmas. God's perfect plan of redemption for sinful man. There was no other way. There is no other way to reconcile a sinful man to a holy God. There's just no other way. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a payment. And it was prophesied from the very beginning to Adam and Eve, and it went down through the ages until about 2,000 years ago, it happened. The plan went into effect. It had been talked about for thousands of years, but then came that day when the baby was born. in the plan, and as the Bible says, the Word became flesh. The form of a person. And that just blows me away sometimes. I mean, you think about it. Put yourself in God's place. Almighty God, creator of everything. There's no darkness in you. You're just pure. You're holy. You've got infinite power, infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom. And you spoke everything into existence. And then knowing in his foreknowledge that sinful man was going to need a redeemer. Yes, I am willing to become one of my creation. He created everything, but then he became one of us. And we have a God that is not aloof. He's not separated from us in the manner of other gods that, you know, the false gods that other religions are based on, where God's kind of very judgmental and they're aloof and all that. We have a God that literally loved us so much, he became a person. And the Bible says he was tempted in every way. So when we are faced with things in our life and we don't know what to do, and we're sitting there and we're going, well, maybe we do know what to do, but we're battling because our flesh is saying what? Do this. And our soul, our mind is saying, no, don't do it. And we fight these battles. Do you understand Jesus fought those same battles? We have a God that understands how we feel. Why? Because he was one of us. He rubbed shoulders. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. A lot of times we sit there and we go, wow, you know, my friend turned on me or said some things behind my back. Look what Jesus' friends did to him. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. He can identify with us. He understands us. I love that verse in Psalms that says he remembers we are but dust. He knows what we're made of. And when we fall, he understands. He doesn't like it, and we got to make it right, but he understands us. It is so comforting to know that I have a God that understands me. That's why we rejoice. That's why we celebrate. The plan went into effect, and he carried it out until that day on the cross when he said, "It is finished." It was finished. He's done. It's over. The price was paid. The way was made for us to approach the living God, and it's all through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not many ways to the Father. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate his birth. The plan that was told down the ages came to fruition. It went into effect. And Jesus was faithful and carried out what his Father wanted him to do. And that becomes our mandate. We are to carry out what the Father wants us to do. And he doesn't leave us alone. He empowers us with his Spirit, guides us, gives us his Word to help us understand. We just got to trust him. Is Jesus your Savior? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I hope you have. Because you know what? You cannot magnify the Lord until the Holy Spirit is within you. And the only way that happens is when you humble yourself, ask God to forgive you, trust in Jesus' work on the cross, the forgiveness of your sin. The price was paid, and now you're in fellowship with a holy God. It's an amazing thing. For the rest of us, does our soul magnify the Lord? Do my mind, my will, my emotions make God bigger and make him more visible? You know, magnify. Something small, put that magnifying glass, wow. You know, as I got older, I needed magnifying glass more. That's why I got this super giant print Bible here. But, you know, God wants to use us to magnify his son. And I got to ask myself, how clear am I? How clean is the lens that God is trying to use to magnify his son? In other words, do my mind, my will, my emotions make the Lord larger and more visible to those around me? Do I remember and rejoice in all the great things he has done for me, regardless of what's going on right now? Those are questions for us to ponder and act upon. That's what we're going to do right now. If I can have every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to have an invitation. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I can't be a magnifying glass because I have never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never approached the throne and just admitted my sin and my humble condition, as Mary put it, and my need of a Savior. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, I understand I need to be kind of a magnifying glass, but there's some things in my life that's making the lens a little cloudy, and I need prayer. I need to straighten some of that stuff out. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to be more aware and of God's will in my life, and I need to fall in line with his will rather than my own. Anybody like that? Struggling with some decisions, perhaps. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you. If there's anybody here today that has never put their faith and trust in you, in Jesus Christ, in his work on the cross, Lord God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. What a marvelous thing that would be. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that we would indeed magnify you in a better way. Help us to grow in that area, Lord. I pray for these that raise their hand that recognize they're kind of battling with you a little bit regarding will and where they ought to go and the path they ought to be on. And Lord, I pray you give them grace and mercy, but also give them light, Lord, that they would see. And give them courage, Lord, that they would step in that direction and trust you. Father God, we lay these things at your feet before you are worthy. And we lift up Jesus because he is worthy because of all he has done. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. This is your time as the piano plays. You take this time and you deal with a holy God. He has reached down and has dealt with you. Now you need to respond. Do not let this time go by. Take advantage of it. Before you, grateful for this time of year, grateful for what it means. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, for sending him to us. Lord God, your perfect plan of redemption for us, thank you for it. Apart from you, we could do nothing. Apart from you intervening in our life, we could not approach you. But thanks to you, Lord, we have relationship, and I just praise you for that, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.